Today's recording is sponsored and dedicated by the Chesno family in honor of the entire community of the Morasha Shul in Cape Town, South Africa, that unfortunately last night suffered the burning down of their shul along with its 7 Sifrei Torah. May Hashem grant much strength and encouragement to the entire community headed by Rabbi Sam, that they should not only rebuild, but as is always the way of Torah, to rebuild it even more greater and more beautiful than before, with all the hidden blessings that this incident brought with it, revealed in an open way. And when it comes to receiving blessings, there's an absolutely beautiful teaching from the Lubavitch Rebbe of blessed memory that he said on December 4th, 1983, when just like this year, we began asking for rain, the prayer for rain, the same Talmud Motel of Rocha that we insert in the Shemone Esrei, the Amida prayer, to ask for rain outside of Israel, where we always begin on December 4th at Marav to begin praying for rain. It occurred that year during Hanukkah, just like this year. And the Rebbe has a teaching to explain what can we learn, because of course everything that happens in Torah has a lesson to our relationship with Hashem. What can we learn from the fact that we begin praying for rain during Hanukkah? So the Rebbe explained this based on a story about his father-in-law, the previous Rebbe, the Rayatz. The Rebbe Rayatz very often, even before he became Rebbe, did a lot in St. Petersburg, the capital of Russia at the time, to try to alleviate the plight of Russian Jews, that there's so much suffering and pogroms that happened to Russian Jews at the time. And one year in 1908, he went special to Petersburg to try to annul the horrible decree made by Stolypin, who was the third prime minister of Russia and the minister of internal affairs at the time, that this Stolypin wanted to completely empty 212 shtetlach, 212 towns of all their Jewish residents, to evict all of them, which would have displaced and made 12,000 Jews homeless. And after doing whatever he tried to do in Petersburg with all the protectia and all the different efforts that he made, he came to his father, the Rebbe Rashab, to ask for a bracha, for a blessing, that all his efforts should yield fruit and success. And the Rebbe Rashab responded to his son by saying over a story that happened with his father, the Rebbe Marash, Reb Shmuel of Lubavitch, that did a lot in 1881 to try to annul the horrible pogroms that were happening at that time in Russia, in Kiev, and in other places. And the Rebbe Marash went to one of the highest up officers in the Russian government and basically threatened the officer that if the Russian government doesn't rein in, doesn't stop the pogroms from happening, he was going to let all the Jews in other parts of the world to know about what's going on, and they would start sanctioning and economically adversely affecting the Russian government. And this officer, when he heard the Rebbe Marash's threat, he said to him, Lubavitch Rebbe, are you threatening the Russian government that you Jews are going to enlist the Jewish capitalists outside of Russia to do something against us, to topple us? And the Rebbe Marash responded, I didn't speak to these capitalists yet until I know that you promised me you'll stop the pogroms. And this officer said to the Rebbe Marash, are you threatening that there's going to be a revolution in Russia? You, Lubavitch Rebbe, you're threatening a revolution? And the Rebbe Marash answered, I'm not threatening a revolution. That you don't need my help. The Russian government, because of its horrible bureaucracy and treatment of its citizens, will eventually have its own revolution, which it did 37 years later. But I am threatening that if the Russians don't stop these pogroms, I will enlist the capitalists' help around the world, not just Jewish, but non-Jewish capitalists, to definitely sanction Russia. And this officer was so mad that the Rebbe Marash threatened the Russian government that he kept him locked up in the hotel that he was staying in for 3 days. And on the third day, he went home to Lubavitch, and he made it there on the 12th of Tammuz, the day that his grandson, the Rayatz, was born. And at the Suda of the Bris, the meal at the Bris, the Rebbe Marash went into a very serious state of dveikus. He became very, very serious. And he sang the Alter Rebbe's Niggun, the Four Bavis, a very, very deep, heart-wrenching Hasidic Niggun. And when he finished, he closed his eyes and he was meditating for a long time. And everyone there was very nervous. What would he say? Until finally the Rebbe Marash said that my father, the Tzemach Tzedek, once said that a bracha, that blessings are like rain. Rain is necessary to cause a field to grow. And when you have in the field even one kernel, many, many trees and much could grow from even one kernel. But there's a condition. Even if there's rain, the rain, which is the same idea of a blessing, will not have an effect unless a person first works the field with strenuous effort. If a person never worked the field, if it wasn't toiled and planted and worked, then it doesn't matter how much rain there is, nothing could grow. And the same thing when it comes to blessings, to brachas. Blessings, brachas are like rain, which are very important to make things grow, but they could only work if there's first effort at the hand of human beings. We have to put in the effort, we have to plow and work the field, and then brachas could help. And the Rebbe Rayatz concluded the story about his great-grandfather by saying that as important as it is to get blessings, brachas are very important, but nobody should think that a blessing is enough. It's just like rain. One has to first work the field, put in your own effort to make a vessel for the blessing to be able to have an effect. Nothing could happen with just blessings, with just rain. We have to work to make things grow, and then the blessing could work also. And especially when it comes to other people. The Rebbe Rayatz says having faith and trust in God is very important when it comes to yourself. But when it comes to somebody else that is suffering or having a hard time, never, never be content in just giving that person a blessing, just giving that person a bracha, just sending them some rain their way. It's just like splashing water at them. If another Jew needs help, that's not the time to have trust and faith in God. Rather, you have to plow the field. You have to do what you can to try to help that Jew as much as possible. And then you could give a blessing, the rain, for the thing to grow. And that, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, our Rebbe, concluded and said that that's the connection of praying for rain with Chanukah. Because Chanukah is the time, she'asa nisim laviseinu b'yomim hem bizman hazeh, that God brought such miracles to our forefathers in those days at this time. Chanukah is a time of tremendous blessing. And not just any blessings, but miraculous blessings one can receive on Chanukah. But just like rain, which we begin praying for today, we have to know that all the blessings in the world will only help if we put in the hard work necessary to plow the field, to learn Torah, to daven, to do mitzvahs in a way of Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice like the Maccabees did, in the way of Mahadrin, to go beyond what we're used to and capable of. For that indeed is how we plow and work the field of our own selves. And in that merit, we'll be able to receive all the blessings that Chanukah brings, the miraculous blessings that everyone should have, all that they need and more that they need in all things physical and spiritual. And the Cape Town Marsha community should very quickly build an even more beautiful shul. And in the merit of that, we should all see the ultimate beautiful building, the ultimate blessing of the Beis HaMikdash.